of our visitors this morning. You're our honored guest. Today is the day that the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Ask yourself the question, what are the things that you have to be thankful for? I am thankful that God has given me the ability to prepare and present a lesson. I'm thankful for my family. Today is my 12th anniversary. I'm thankful that David asked me to present this lesson to you. I'm thankful that today I'll get to go and visit my mother and father-in-law. I'm thankful for all the good and wonderful things that God has given me. Today is a day for sacrifice, for giving things up, for giving things to God. What does the word sacrifice mean to you? Consider it carefully. Today, my lesson's title is Acceptable Sacrifice. But before we begin to discuss sacrifice, I would like to discuss obedience. In 1 Samuel 15:22, when Samuel is speaking to Saul about doing exactly, and I want to emphasize exactly what God told him to do, and Saul had done what Saul had wanted to do and had brought back the king of the Amalekites and the best animals for sacrifice. This is what Samuel said to Saul. Reading in 1 Samuel 15, verses 22 and 23, it says, "And Samuel said, Hath Jehovah as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifice as in obeying the voice of Jehovah? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as idolatry and teraphim. Because thou hast rejected the word of Jehovah, he also rejected thee from being king." Now, I'd like to point out that six times in these verses, he talks about it's better to obey than it is to sacrifice. First, it says, "Hath Jehovah as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifice as in obeying." That's the first one. In the second one, it says, "Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice." Third, to hearken, which literally means to hear, understand, and to do, is better than the fat of rams, literally the sacrifice. And now he's going to speak about obedience in a negative manner. "For rebellion," which is the opposite of obedience, "is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness," that is, you dug your heels in and decided not to obey, "is as idolatry and teraphim." That's number five. And number six, "because thou hast rejected," decided not to obey my word, the word of Jehovah, "he hath also rejected thee from being king." You'll notice that in those two verses, there's quite a bit said about not obeying God's word. On the other hand, we have Abraham as an example of someone who was most obedient. The things that he did pleased God. And because of his obedience, you'll remember that God asked Abraham to go out of his country and go into a country that he would show him. And because Abraham obeyed God, God told him or made three promises to him. Now, you remember what those three promises were. He said, "I'm going to make you a great nation." He said, "I'm going to give you a land." And then the third nation promise was a spiritual promise. And he said, "In thy seed shall all nations of the earth be blessed." That is, Christ would literally be one of the offspring of Abraham a long, long time later. He was one of his lineage. And then after God had done all these things, he had a son, Isaac, and that son, God asked him to sacrifice that son. And so Abraham, full of faith, said, "I'll do it because God has asked me to do this thing." And I know that because since God has asked me to do this thing, God will be able to provide for these promises, even though I sacrifice my son. In Genesis 22, verses 10 and 11, it says, "And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took a knife to slay his son. And the angel of Jehovah called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me." Abraham was willing to sacrifice his son, but only in explicit obedience to God's word. In Romans, in the 4th chapter, verse 3, it said, "For what saith the scriptures? And Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned unto him for righteousness." Let there be no doubt in your minds, obedience is better than sacrifice. What does the word sacrifice mean? It simply means the act of offering or the object that is offered, or the act of giving up something now in exchange for the hope of something better in the future. In the Old Testament, most sacrifice was associated with the offering of an animal, and the animal gave up his life. Generally speaking, this animal was a male. It was a perfect animal. It was an animal that was without blemish, and often it was the firstborn. The person offering the sacrifice came up and brought the animal to the tabernacle, laid his hands on the animal. The animal was killed, and then it was burnt or cooked. And once this animal was burnt or cooked, it was shared. It was split many times three ways. Sometimes it wasn't, but most of the time it was split three ways. One part of it went to God, and God was the one that specified that part. He said he wanted the fat, he wanted the entrails, and he wanted the kidneys. Then a portion of it went to the person that offered the sacrifice, to the Levites, and the third part went back to the person that had offered that sacrifice himself. So a benefit went back to the giver. First, God took part of the animals that was unacceptable for human consumption. God knows which part that is. Second, it was God's way of taking care of his priests, the Levites. Third, it gave a portion of the gift back to the giver. Fourth, it provided a means by which man could establish and maintain a relationship with God. Fifth, because these were males that were offered, it did not decimate a person's herd. If it had been females, there would be no animals to carry the young. And it may have even provided a benefit to the herd and made it better. Sixth, it cost the giver something. It wasn't something that was free and was of no cost to the one that made the sacrifice. This is one of the ways that we show God, by our sacrifices, that we honor, that we revere, that we love, that we reverence, that we respect, that we hold God in high esteem, is through our personal sacrifices. The other way is obedience. The scriptures say, "If you love me, you'll keep my commandments." And if you look at these six blessings, you'll see, at least in the Old Testament, that always when a sacrifice was made, a blessing accrued to the one making the sacrifice. That is the reason that I have titled my lesson today, "Acceptable Sacrifice, Our Gifts to God." There are only two examples of human sacrifice in the Bible that were acceptable to God. One of them is when Abraham sacrificed his son, and that was stopped before a life could be taken. And the second time was the sacrifice of Jesus Christ for the sins of mankind, a perfect individual, without blemish, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. If you think that the sacrifices that you make for God are too costly, think of the sacrifice that God made for you. A gift without value. A gift so valuable that none other has ever been as valuable as that gift. Just think of Jesus' value to his Father. A perfect son that had obeyed his Father always in everything and was without sin, but much more a valuable gift that was given to mankind to take away the sins of mankind. Consider these things as you offer your gifts to God. Are your sacrifices acceptable? A rhetorical question, yes, but one that you should consider each and every day of your life. Remember Cain and Abel's sacrifice in Genesis, in the fourth chapter, and beginning in verses 2-7, I'm going to read this. It says, "And again she bare his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto Jehovah. And Abel he also brought of the firstlings of his flock, and of the fat thereof, and Jehovah had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And Jehovah said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth? Why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shall it not be lifted up? And if thou doest not well, sin coucheth at the door, and unto thee shall be its desire. But do thou rule over it." This passage speaks that he did have respect for the sacrifice of Abel and none for Cain's. You know, God has never held man accountable for those things that he didn't know about. So just based on this text, we know that God must have told Cain and Abel what an appropriate and a proper sacrifice must be. And yet one of them made that appropriate, proper sacrifice, and the other one did not. You know, we can be assured that Cain knew what was acceptable to God, but he did not obey. And had we read on, we could have seen the results of his disobedience. It says that sin coucheth at the door. It was crouched there waiting for him to devour him. When we do wrong and we're disobedient, sin sits there and waits on us. One of the things we do know, though, was that his sacrifice was unacceptable. And in Hebrews 11:4, it says, "By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he had witness borne to him that he was righteous, God bearing witness in respect of his gifts, and through it he being dead yet speaketh." Now look where it says more excellent. We might think of this as an acceptable sacrifice, and he was in a right relationship with God. Cain's sacrifice was unacceptable. We might infer that he was not right in his relationship with God, therefore he was unrighteous. In just a moment we'll read from the book of Malachi. It's the last book in the Old Testament. I would recommend that sometime today that you take a few minutes and read it. It's only 2.5 pages long in most Bibles, and it's talks about a warning and a promise that God made to the Israelites about the things that they were doing and about the sacrifices that they were making. I want to read to you from Malachi, the first chapter. I'm going to read verses 6 through 8, and then I'm going to read verse 14. It says, "A son honoreth his father, and a servant his master. If then I am a father, where is mine honor? And if I am a master, where is my fear, saith Jehovah of hosts unto you, O priests that despise my name? And you say, wherein have we despised thy name? Ye offer polluted bread upon my altar. You say, wherein have we polluted thee? In that you say, the table of Jehovah is contemptible. Where, and when you offer the blind for sacrifice, is it no evil? And when you offer the lame and sick, it is no evil? Present it now unto thy governor. Will he be pleased with thee? Or will he accept thy person, saith Jehovah of hosts?" And again in verse 14, "But cursed be the deliverer, who hath in his flock a male, and voweth and sacrificeth unto the Lord a blemished thing. For I am a great king, saith Jehovah of hosts, and my name is terrible among the Gentiles." I'm going to turn over to the third chapter, and I'm going to read beginning in verse 8 through 12. Says, "Will a man rob God? Yet ye rob me. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye rob me, even this whole nation. Bring ye the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and prove me now herewith, saith Jehovah of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven, pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast its fruit before the time in the field, saith Jehovah of hosts. And all nations shall call you happy, for ye shall be a delightsome land, saith Jehovah of hosts. Are the things that you offer to God blemished? Do you rob God? Do you give things to God that cost you nothing?" And again, let's turn over to 2 Samuel in the 24th chapter. And I'll begin by reading verse 19 through 25. It talks about David and a sacrifice that God told David to make. And you'll notice the obedience of David. Beginning in verse 19, it said, "And David went up according to the saying of Gad, as Jehovah commanded. And Araunah looked forth, and saw the king and his servants coming on toward him. And Araunah went out and bowed himself before the king with his face to the ground. And Araunah said, wherefore is my lord the king come to his servant? And David said, to buy the threshing floor of thee, to build an altar unto Jehovah, that the plague may be stayed from the people. And Araunah said unto David, let my lord the king take and offer up what seemeth good unto him. Behold, the oxen for the burnt offering, and the threshing instruments, and the yokes of the oxen for the wood. All this, O king, doth Araunah give unto thee, the king. And Araunah said unto the king, Jehovah thy God accept thee. And the king said unto Araunah, nay, but I will verily buy it of thee at a price. Neither will I offer burnt offerings unto Jehovah my God, which cost me nothing. So David bought the threshing floor and the oxen for 50 shekels of silver. And David built there an altar unto Jehovah and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings. So Jehovah was entreated for the land, and the plague was stayed from Israel." You'll notice David obeyed in verse 19. Paid for the sacrifice, it cost him something, and he received a blessing. Inherent in all sacrifices, a blessing that goes to the one that offers the sacrifice. It is not necessarily the purpose, and never should be the purpose for offering the sacrifice. It should be made always because we love God and because that we want to maintain a right relationship with God. Let's talk about God's sacrifice of His Son. In the 53rd chapter of Isaiah, it says, He was bruised, He was smitten, He was afflicted, and it says it pleased God to bruise Him. In verse 11, it says that by these things, or by this knowledge, God's righteous servant shall justify many. In Ephesians, in the 5th chapter, verses 1 and 2, Be ye therefore imitators of God, as beloved children, and walk in love, even as Christ also loved you and gave Himself up for us as an offering and a sacrifice to God for an odor of a sweet smell. He was a sacrifice once and for all. By His blood, the sins of man are forgiven, so that on the final day of judgment, man can enter into salvation because he has established a right relationship with God. These are the sacrifices that God gave that we might receive the benefit. In the Old Testament, God planned for and established a priesthood to offer sacrifices that were acceptable to Him. You remember Nadab and Abihu, who offered strange fire, that is, unacceptable sacrifices. But in Leviticus, and once again, I would encourage each and every one of you to read Leviticus, the first 7 chapters. And in this section of Leviticus, he prescribes exactly how the sacrifices are to be made. If you'll read chapter 1, it talks about the burnt offerings. If you'll read chapter 2, it talks about the meal or meat offering. In chapter 3, the peace offering. In chapter 4, the sin offering. And in chapter 5, the trespass offering. And in verses, or in chapter 6 and 7, he talks about the true offering, the order of the offering. The first thing that had to happen was is that the sin offering had to occur so that reconciliation between God and man occurred. And this had to happen before any other relationship could be established. The burnt offering was a dedication to God and His service. The meat and peace offerings and the trespass offerings expressed thankfulness and communion with God and allow man to establish and maintain that relationship with God. And all of these types of sacrifice have a type and serve as a type and foreshadow the New Testament order. In the New Testament, we as Christians are the priests that are to offer the sacrifices. In 1 Peter, in the 2nd chapter, verses 5 and verses 9, it says, Ye also, as living stones, are built up a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. And again in verse 9, But ye are an elect race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, that ye may show forth the excellencies of Him that called you out of darkness unto His marvelous light. We are the priesthood as Christians that are called to offer sacrifices. God offered His Son as a sacrifice, that so through Him and through the act of baptism, we might come into contact with His blood and have the remission of sins and be able to establish that relationship with God. And this corresponds at least to the type in the Old Testament of the sin offering, although the blood of bulls and goats could not take away the sins of man, it only moved them forward. But Christ, a better sacrifice, can take away the sins of mankind. The sacrifice of a Christian's body, his faith, his material possessions, his assistance to God's servants, his praise of God, and his helping others and doing good corresponds to the types of the meat and the meal and the peace offerings in the Old Testament. And once a person becomes a Christian by this very act, he dedicates his life and himself to the service of God. And this corresponds to the burnt offering. In Romans 12 and 1 it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service. I'd like to ask you the question, how do we present our bodies as a living sacrifice? And as I thought about this, all sorts of ideas popped into my head. What do you put into your body? Do you put alcohol? Do you put drugs? Do you smoke? Do you overeat? Or do you eat the wrong kinds of foods? Are you fit so that you have the energy to do God's work each day? The Bible tells us that we should dress modestly. Do you dress your body in such a way that if God were to come in or Jesus were to come in and sit down next to you, that you and he both would be pleased in your dress? Toward the end of the sixth chapter of 1 Corinthians, it talks about sexual immorality and the fact that it is a sin against our own body. Are you sexually impure? And then again, how do you prepare your body for worship? Do you give it enough sleep so that you can stay awake during services? And do you bring your body and mind in subjection so that you're awake and so that you're focused on the lessons? If I ran a video camera up here from the pulpit, I think many of you would, and I replayed it for each one of you to see, I think many of you would be surprised and embarrassed at the results. Is your sacrifice pleasing to God? Let your bodies be a living sacrifice. Turning to Philippians in the second chapter, verse 17, it says, yea, and if I am offered up on the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. And this offered literally means poured out as a drink offering. But what does this phrase, sacrifice and service of your faith, or condensing it, your sacrifice of faith? And I have studied it. I believe that I understand the word faith in this instance to mean obedient belief. Let's turn over to Philippians and in the second chapter. And I'm going to begin and read in verse 12. And I want you to think about some of the things that I've talked about today. It says, so then, my beloved, even as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. You'll notice obedience there. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who worketh in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and questionings, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God, without blemish. You'll notice that word, without blemish. An acceptable sacrifice to God is without blemish. In the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom ye are seen as lights of the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may have whereof to glory in the day of Christ, that I did not run in vain, neither labor in vain. Yea, and if I am offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. I want you to notice several things that happen in this phrase here. It says the sacrifice of faith seems to include obedient belief, ordering your life so that in the end you will have a home in heaven with God, doing God's work without questioning and complaining, being blameless, being lights of the world, and holding forth the word of light. That is teaching the gospel, telling others about Christ, does your sacrifice of faith please God? And in the same book in Philippians, in the 4th chapter in verse 18, says, but I have all things and abound. I am filled, having received from Epaphroditus the things that came from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice, acceptable, well-pleasing to God. Now I'm going to go back and I'm going to give you a little background as I did with the chapter in the second chapter. I'm going to go back and I'm going to begin at verse 10 so that we can have an understanding of what he's talking about here in this sacrifice that he's praising them for. It says, but I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at length you have revived your thought for me, wherein you did indeed take thought, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therefore to be content. I know how to be abased. I know how to abound in everything, and in all things have I learned the secret both to be filled and to be hungry, both to abound and to be in want. I can do all things in him that strengtheneth me. Howbeit you did well that you had fellowship with my affliction. And ye yourselves also know, ye Philippians, that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church had fellowship with me in the matter of giving and receiving, but ye only. They were sending to his need, helping him and to support him so that he was able to preach the gospel. For even in Thessalonica you sent once and again unto my need, not that I seek for the gift, but I seek for the fruit that increaseth to your account. You'll notice a blessing went to the account of the giver. But I have all things and abound. I am filled, having received from Epaphroditus the things that came from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. My God shall supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. The support for men of God, that is, their living from preaching the gospel, is a sacrifice pleasing to God. Remember, there are some similarities between the priest in the Old Testament and those that preach the gospel in the New Testament. Both of these groups of men are supported and receive their support from the sacrifices of those that they serve. Is your giving acceptable to God? You remember in the Old Testament that a tenth or a tithe was the least that was ever acceptable. We have a better covenant. We are taught to give as we have been prospered. It is acceptable as a man hath. Turning over to Hebrews in the 13th chapter, in verse 15, it says, through him, then, let us offer up a sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is, the fruit of lips which make confession to his name, always praising God, telling others about Christ, teaching the gospel, never cursing God, thanking God for all the goodness and bounty that he's given to us, defending God in his cause before others, speaking in a way that is consistent with God's word, always telling the truth. Have the things that you say identified you as a Christian or as a gainsayer? Pray often. Let the sacrifice of your lips be acceptable to God. Continuing on in verse 16 of the 13th chapter, it says, but to do good and to communicate, forget not. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. We can certainly understand what the phrase to do good means. I think that each and every one of you, in every instance of his life, knows if you're doing good or if you're not doing good. But the word communicate might very well have been translated so that we understand it better as to share our material wealth. Do you share your material wealth with others that need it? Remember, covetousness is the same as idolatry. Are your sacrifices acceptable to God? I hope this lesson has stirred up your mind. If you find that your sacrifices are acceptable and pleasing to God, I just want to congratulate you and tell you that it's wonderful. But if you don't, I beg of you, repent, make your life right with God. God has made provisions for your salvation. He commands that you repent, that you confess Christ as God's Son, and that you be immersed for the remission of your sins. We have prepared so that that can be accomplished easily. So if you are subject to this invitation, if you need the prayers of the church, if you need to confess a public sin, this is the time to make your life right with God. Please come forward as we stand and sing.
Has my affections been nailed to the cross? Is my heart right with God? Dost thou count all things for Jesus but loss? Is thy heart right with God? Is thy heart right with God? Washed in the crimson flood, cleansed and made holy, humble and lowly, right in the sight of God. Hast thou dominion o'er self or o'er sin? Is thy heart right with God? Over all evil without and within, is thy heart right with God? Is thy heart right with God? Washed in the crimson flood, cleansed and made holy, humble and lowly, right in the sight of God. Are all thy powers, dear Jesus, control? Is thy heart right with God? Does each moment abide in the soul? Is thy heart right with God? Is thy heart right with God? Washed in the crimson flood, cleansed and made holy, humble and lowly, right in the sight of God.
Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity that we've had this morning to come together and study another portion of your word. We are truly thankful for men such as Brother Banks who have the ability and are willing to make the sacrifices in their lives to spread the borders of your kingdom. We pray that we as saints will take what has been spoken this morning and apply it to our lives and find ways that we may sacrifice ourselves in your behalf while still on this earth. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray for the sick that were mentioned this morning. We pray that you would grant them their health, if it be your will, and if not, that you would comfort them in their affliction. We also pray for those who are on the road traveling during this season. We pray that you would watch over them, return them safely to us. Heavenly Father, we pray that we would view this holiday season as an opportunity to teach others in their ignorance. For we know that the significant events in the life of Christ are his death, his burial, and his resurrection, of which we're to remember the first day of every week. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray that you would be with each of us as we go to our classes. We pray that we will have prepared ourselves in such a manner that we may be able to participate effectively. For we know that this command is no less equal to that of partaking of the Lord's Supper or singing and making melody in our hearts. We pray that you would watch over us, Give us of our sins. In Christ's name, amen.